Welcome, everybody. Share number 1105. We're learning today. Lila Nishmas Moshe Doif Vemrabaran Zisel. Lila Nishmas Blima Bas Ramayshen Refuah Shalema Sarafega Bas Leinachama. Getting back to our Malacha of Zoreya planting. Okay, so we are trying to go through some practical applications from the Sefer Mocha and Leshivtecha in his Piskei Halacha in Simin on Simin Shin Lamed Vav, which is our Simin in the Shulchan Aruch, which talks about the Malacha of Zoreya planting and the Malacha of Koitzer uprooting. Koitzer we went through. We're trying to go through some various different practical applications in reference to Zoreya planting. Okay, we spoke a little bit about the pits. We said one should be careful if in a yard with a pit in the hand and so on, they're eating apple, whatever the case is, one has to be careful that it shouldn't fall down on the grass and so on. We spoke about that in the past, but he does say, like we, and also we mentioned Shachazrodov are very important. If a pit is not muksa, in the case in time where it's not muksa, it has part of the food is attached to it, let's say, if the food is attached to a pit, so a person could suck off the pit or whatever, so, but uvavada im nofal, we're gonna learn about the hilchas muksa with the pits and so on, but if it's still an edible thing, uvavada im nofal, eze garin sarach lagbiu, kadesh lo yishtarash. One has to be careful. If a pit falls down, right, a pit falls down and it's not muksa, to make sure to pick it up and not to leave it there, that it doesn't, yishtarash, it's gonna take root. And then he says afterwards, if, let's say it is muksa again, which we mentioned also in the past, if the pit is imagarin muksa yagbiu kalachiyad, to pick it up, kalachiyad, or to kick it off the grass, make sure that it doesn't stay on the grass. Vimiev shalagbiu kalachiyad, if I can't do a kalachiyad, yesh kama taimish la yagbiu kalal, ayin lefnim. Okay, he talks about that, what could be done, but where, as much as possible, one should be careful to push it off the grass with their foot or whatever. We spoke about even last time that coming back, if it's mamish muksa, there's no way to get it off, even coming back right after Shabbos and taking it off, because we said it does take, Mishabur spoke about it, it does take 3 days for the pit, or something that's planted in general, to take root. But the point being, these pits in general, apples, plums, whatever the case might be, one has to be extremely careful when they fall on the ground and it's on soil or in a place whereby it could grow. That's the bottom line. You have to be extremely careful on Shabbos. Okay, an interesting thing. It's a little bit more of Amir La'akim telling a guy to do something, but from the Sefer learning Shabbos in 3 minutes, he brings out interesting. I just wanted to bring it out because he just happens to mention it. You see, all the time people have these gardening companies, right? They come, they cut the grass, they blow the leaves, and they make a lot of noise with the machine, but this is, you know, they're paid. It's like a contract type of a thing. So it's what we call in halacha kablonis. We're not going to get into the whole thing right now. When we learn Bezras Hashem Belina, when we learn the halachas of Amir La'akim, what you're allowed to tell a guy, what you're not allowed to tell a guy, we'll talk about the kablonis and these type of things. But there's something called a contractual agreement, which people have with gardeners. Now the problem is, let's say the gardener, they decide to come on Shabbos. You know, Shabbos is the day, this block, this company, they're goyim, no problem. But now the problem that does exist, they're coming to the block on Shabbos, and this is where they work on Shabbos. So they come to your house and they start whatever it is, trimming the grass or watering the grass, whatever the case is. Obviously, doing malachais the araisa items, the isure malach of the malacha of zereya planting and the malacha of koitzer uprooting, because they're gardeners. So the question is, am I allowed to let them? I didn't tell them to come on Shabbos. I don't care when they come, right? So, but it's in conjunction with this. So that's an interesting thing. So he brings down the Sefer of learning Shabbos in 3 minutes, a gardening service. Or non-Jewish gardener, obviously, right? It has to be, obviously, we're talking about non-Jews. The Jews, that's not the issue over here, may not attend to a Jewish garden on Shabbos, right? Even though this week it comes out on Shabbos, on Saturday we go to this and this block. You can't let them do that. You have to tell them. Even if the person negotiated before Shabbos, right? If for 1 year I pay them this and this amount and then they come fix up my garden. But if they come on Shabbos, you have to tell them they can't do work on Shabbos. Why? If negotiated before them on Shabbos, for example, watering the garden, cutting, planting, whatever the case is, they have to come only during the week. This is because of the fact that it's on a Jewish property, right? When it's on a Jewish property and everybody sees, and it's not something that's, you know, that everybody understands. Like sometimes, let's say like UPS delivers a package or Amazon and these type of things, it's a little bit different. We'll talk about, not whereby one tells them to send it specifically, but they happen to drop it off, whatever, you know. So we'll talk about how that works. But over here, they're coming to do work in the person's garden, mamish on Shabbos, and it's something that's befarhesia, right? And it's, everybody sees, so that is definitely not allowed to be done, even though they come by themselves and you didn't ask them to come, and you know, they're paid a monthly fee or whatever the case is, and punk, this week they happen to come on Shabbos to work on the people on the block, and you're one of the people. So the bottom line is, the person has to be careful. They can't let them do that work on Shabbos, because of the fact when a non-Jew does work for a Jew, even in cases whereby it's a contractual agreement, if it's in whereby people see, like in this case, obviously in the open front of the house or whatever, even in back of the house or whatever the case is, they have to be told that they cannot do it on Shabbos. It's just it was interesting. Well, again, we're not learning the halachas right now of Amir La'akim, what, when, and where, how that works in reference to telling a guy, but it was an important point that he does bring down, which comes up constantly, because it is these gardening companies, even though they're non-Jewish, people have contractual agreements with them, and one might think, okay, good, so, fine, they came, they came this week on Shabbos, so I'll leave them, and that's it, it is what it is. I never told them to come on Shabbos, so what does it have to do with, they could come on Sunday, Monday, for all I care. But it's not like that, because of the fact that it's out in the open, it's before Hesia, and everybody sees, and that is usher. Now we're going to see when we learn the halachas of Amir La'akim, there's various different categories. There's a daita d'nafshe, when the guy does it for themselves, and then there's maris ayin, like in our case, it's called maris ayin, whereby it's seen in the public and everybody knows that this the guy is working for me, even though they came by themselves. Then we're going to see there's other instances whereby the guy does something in a case whereby the Jewish person can do it also, just the guy does it in a different way, like they'll mop the floor, you know, or they'll wash the dishes in a case in time where one is allowed to wash dishes, right? If they need it for Shabbos, for example. Because I could wash a dish, but by the guy, if they wash the dish for me, so they could, I could also wash the dish. What's the problem? But they're allowed to use hot water. They could use whatever they want. But we'll see. We're going to see how these inyanim work. But this is a case of actually of maris ayin, whereby even though it's a daite de nafshe, and they came on their own, and it's a kabbalonis, and it's a contractual agreement. But when it's in the open, it is not allowed to be done. Okay, we're going to continue next time. Thank you for listening. Atzlach and bracha, kol tov.